in your hand. Now wave it back and forth in the face of the ugly devil. Don't wave it in my face now. All right, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this first session together in our study. Lord, as we begin to look at what your word has to say about divine supernatural favor, Lord, I pray that each of us will receive revelation knowledge. Lord, we don't depend upon our own understanding, but we lean unto the Spirit of God. And Lord, I ask for the Spirit of wisdom, the revelation knowledge to rise up beginning right now in our hearts and in our minds to cause us to walk in your kind of success and victory to be achievers for the kingdom of God. We ask this in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. And this is our first session together in the subject of walking in favor with God and man. Let's say that together. Walking in favor with God and man. One more time. Walking in favor with God and man. Now, we want to begin to analyze this area the Bible calls favor, because favor, God's kind of favor, is related to a life of victory and success. And I think you understand, when I talk about success, I'm talking about God's kind of success, what Joshua 1:8 says, good success. Everybody say good success. Well, you know, I got to thinking about that. If there's a good success, there's got to be a what? And that's the truth. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his soul? So there's a good success built on God's word, and there's a bad success built on the world system. Now, favor. Let's look at this passage, Luke chapter 2. Well, let's just go up and begin with verse 49. Luke 2, verse 49. And he said unto them, this is Jesus as a young man, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Everybody say Father's business.
Father's business.
Lord of God, we're going to get business conscious tonight. Amen? The Father's business. Verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. These were his parents. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. You mark this in your Bible. And was subject unto them. Now, we're going to come back to that theme later tonight. Generally, I don't like to run through a long chain of references in the beginning of my message, but we really need to tonight. But we're going to come back to this idea of becoming subject unto them. And we're going to see how that ties in with God's favor. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Verse 52. This is our verse that we want to base our two-part study on. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, or that word stature means age, and in favor. Everybody say in favor. He increased. Now, that's amazing to me that Jesus increased in this area. You know, we just tend to think Jesus was born with, I guess, a computer printout right beside him telling him what to do every day. Jesus had to increase, it says, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. You see, there is a realm that as believers, we can walk increasingly in favor, first with God. And if we have favor with God, that will automatically guarantee us favor with men. If we have favor with God, it'll automatically bring us into a realm of increasing favor with men. You say, well, what does that do for me? Well, you work with men on your jobs. You work with people in your daily affairs. You're around people in this building. You're around people all the time. And God says, I want you to increase in favor, not only with me, but with other people too. Now, let me give you a definition for favor right out of the dictionary, good old Webster's dictionary. Favor, number one, means friendly regard or partiality. Friendly regard or partiality. Now, think about that. Have you ever been in favor with somebody? Maybe growing up in school, maybe you can't relate to that, I don't know. But growing up in school, maybe you were the teacher's pet one time, you know, and you just knew that you had favor. I mean, she just liked you. Why did she like you? I don't know. But you got special partiality and special privileges. That's all tied up in this word favor. Number two, the dictionary says favor means preference. I like that. Preference. Help. And support. You see, when you're in favor with somebody, you have preference, you get their help and their support. In other words, you've got benefits that aren't really available to somebody else who's not in favor with them. You say, well, that's great. You know, Jesus increased in favor and all so forth. What about me? All right, let's just settle that right now. Let's go together to Psalms 5. You write these references down as we cover these. Psalm 5, and let's go to verses 11 and 12. Well, now we're going to cover a lot of material real quick. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures real quick. And then we're going to settle in on two particular passages for the remainder of our study tonight. Psalms 5, and let's look at verses 11 and 12. It says, "But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice." Amen? I mean, when we put our trust in God, we get excited. Somebody says, "Oh, dear God, if I ever get totally committed, you know, no telling what it'll require of me." Don't think like that. Rejoice. It says, "Let them ever shout for joy," not sadness, "because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee." Now you mark verse 12. "For Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous," look at this, "with favor." Everybody say, "with favor."
Favor.
It says, "With favor wilt Thou compass him about as with a shield." In other words, you can walk. Do you remember that old commercial where there was like a shield of protection around that person? What was it? Breath mints or something? I don't know what it was. But they had this shield of protection around them. That's what we can have, the favor of the Lord. Now, if you have a good study Bible, that word favor, at least my marginal reading, it says, "With favor wilt thou compass." That word compass really means crown him. So favor is related to a reigning life. If you want to wear... Who wears the crown? The king and the queen. If you want to reign in life, then we need to tie into this idea of favor. Favor. We need to have favor. And it says God wants to give it to each one of His people. Now, let's begin to turn our attention to some of the benefits. If you begin to walk in favor, what will that do for you? What will it do for you? Let's go together to Psalm 44 and look at some of the scriptural examples of benefits that come with divine supernatural favor. Because I tell you what, I believe that God speaks to His people. Do you? Did you listen to the prophecies tonight? I listened to them. We have to have ears to hear. One came forth and said, "Tonight it's going to change your life. Tonight will be a turning point," something to that effect. "If you meditate in my word, I'll lead you in my kind of success." Now I listen to those things and I take them very seriously. And I believe that tonight, I didn't just come here, you know, to say, "Okay, check it off, we've been in Jacksonville." I came here to bless you. And you're going to get blessed. And when you get hold of this idea of favor, glory to God, your life is going to take a turn. It really is. It's so exciting. All right, Psalm 44, and let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's look at some benefits that come with favor. It says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work Thou didst in their days in the times of old. How Thou didst drive out the heathen." He's talking about the people of Israel coming into the land. "You did drive out the heathen with Thy hand, and You planted them." Where? In the land of Canaan. "Thou didst afflict the people," the heathen, the enemies, "and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword." Now look at that. It didn't happen by their own power. "Neither did their own arm save them, but Thy right hand and Thine arm and the light of Thy countenance." Underline this. "Because Thou hast a favor unto them." In other words, when God begins to give a people favor, it drives out barriers before you. It opens doors. It'll plant you into the land known as Canaan. Favor is really the doorway, the gateway into Canaan land, Canaan provision, and it's a tool of defeat when you face your enemies. It defeats them. All right, go with me now to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. We're going to settle in on a couple of scriptures in just a moment, but I want to give an overview. And let me encourage you, you just take a good concordance. You look up the word favor. It is surprising how numerous that word appears numerous times all through the Bible. So many times that there's no way that in a couple of sessions we could look at each one of them. But it's very interesting to do that. I've done that. I'm just giving you some highlights here. All right, Proverbs 22. And let's look at verse 1. It says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." Or really you could read that, "a good reputation." And it goes on to say, "And loving favor rather than silver and gold." Aha! In other words, there are benefits that favor has for the believer that far supersedes anything that silver or gold could give. I just heard a recent example at the Georgia and North Florida Leadership Conference. I was one of the speakers a couple of weeks ago over in Statesboro. The keynote speaker was Gerald Durstein. Have you ever heard of Gerald Durstein? And he was talking about how God gave him favor recently in one of the countries of Central America. Now you see, money cannot buy open doors like God can open them. Do you know that? You could be a multimillionaire and really not be able to have the divine contacts, those supernatural connections, those open doors that God can open. But favor can do it. And he was telling about, I believe it was El Salvador. Now, don't quote me on that, but he came before one of the presidents, one of the leaders of a Central American nation recently, and her daughter had been kidnapped. And he sought to serve this man, and he prayed for him, and really forgot about the whole agenda that he was there for, to appeal for open doors for Bible schools and so forth, because this man was just distraught over his daughter being kidnapped. And he laid hands on him and began to bless him, and God spoke a word of knowledge and said, "She shall be returned, and she'll not have a hair of her head touched." And it happened. And you can't believe what kind of favor all of a sudden he got with that man. Uh-huh. You see, money couldn't do what that did. God opened doors like we just can't imagine through that favor that came, really, again, through a secret, the mystery box. Everybody say the mystery box. We're going to be talking about the mystery box. What leads to favor? That's the interesting thing. Okay, we can have favor. What leads to it? But it says there, favor rather than silver or gold. Now, let's look further at the divine pattern. What will favor do for you? What will favor do for you in general? In general. All right, go with me to Exodus 3. We're going to build a picture on this chalkboard tonight, and I want you to be following me on this diagram. Put it right there in your notes. That's why I gave it to you. Exodus 3. And let's look at a divine pattern that surrounds this concept of favor. Because I'm telling you, this is a link to our success. I've read a couple of books on favor, and about the best they say is, you know, just confess it. Well, I believe in that, but there's more to it than just confessing it. You've got to walk in it. All right, Exodus 3, and let's look at verses 21 and 22. It says, "And I will give this people," everybody say it, "favor." Uh-huh. God says, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty." Now mark that. Favor never leaves you empty. Favor never leaves you empty. And it goes on to say in verse 22, "But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiments. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters." In other words, your family will have it. "And you shall spoil the Egyptians." Now, favor enables us to spoil the world system. And by that I mean we can go in and capture the goods that the world has. And as it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, we will not be corrupted according to deceitful lust, but we'll go it about God's way, but thereby achieve that which the world lusts after, God's way. So, let me complete this. Favor actually always produces, write this, promotion. When a person has favor, promotion always follows. Always, always, always. You can't have favor without promotion coming. I mean, you know, if you got favor, you're going to have promotion. It's just that simple. That's the divine pattern. I mean, they were being promoted. He says, "I'm going to leave. When you leave here, you're going to have jewels. You're going to have clothes. You're going to have everything you need." Favor is going to bring promotion in your life. All right, let's look at another example. There's a number of them. Esther was one. Nehemiah was one. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. And look at how favor worked in the life of Daniel and some of his friends. Daniel chapter 1. And, well, let's begin with verse 19. For the sake of time, Daniel chapter 1, we'll look at verses 19, 20, and 21. Daniel 1, and let's look at verse 19. It says, "And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Now look at verse 20. Look at this closely. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times. Everybody say 10 times. Ten times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued. Now that was unusual in those days. I mean, usually in those days, in a change of power, you were out. But Daniel continued. It says, and Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus. Now, how did that happen? Go back to verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into... Everybody say it. Favor. Everybody say favor. He brought him into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. In other words, this guy just liked him. Why did he like Daniel? I don't know. God just put it in this man's heart. He just said, I like you, Daniel. I don't know what it is about you. I mean, I realize you're a Hebrew, but I like you anyway. You know, they'll say, I realize you go down to that church, you know, with those people down there shake tambourines, but I like you anyway. You see, God can do that, and with favor always comes promotion. Now, promotion will lead us to something else. We're going to see that in a moment. Promotion will lead us to something else. But favor always brings with it promotion. Now, something very interesting I found in my study, you may want to write this down. The New Testament word grace, the New Testament word grace, is the exact same word in Greek for the word favor. The New Testament translators use the exact same word. The word is charis. The transliteration is C-H-A-R-I-S. C-H-A-R-I-S. That's the word that's translated grace. It's the exact same word in the New Testament that's translated at times favor. So once you get through your concordance looking up all the word that says favor, just go over there and look up the word grace. And it's a very interesting study to see the word grace in light of this understanding that we're forming of favor. Let's just look at one example. Go with me to St. John chapter 1. You know, the word grace, I mean, you know, you get in Sunday school class, brother, what does the word grace mean? Oh, well, the word grace, well, that's what you say before dinner. Yes, that's what the word grace is. Well, what do you think the word grace is? Oh, she was a wonderful sister. Hallelujah. You know, grace. People don't know what grace is. But let's look at it in light of this idea of favor. Chapter 1, let's look at verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Now, it's the same word that in other places in the New Testament is translated favor. So let's translate it this way. Full of favor and truth. Go down to verse 16. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace upon grace. Let's look at it this way. Favor upon favor. In other words, Jesus brings with Him favor upon favor upon favor. You don't deserve it. He just likes you. And He wants to put favor upon favor, partiality upon partiality, preference upon preference. You belong to Him. And He wants to do special things in your life. Look at the next verse, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace or favor and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, as I began to think about this, I said, oh Lord, I'm so excited. Do you ever do that when you're studying the Word of God? Just get up and just do one of those little Shekinah shindigs. That's what I do sometimes. I can't dance real well, but I sure do dance before the Lord sometimes in my office. You know, sometimes we just do it in church. We need to do it at home. Just driving down the street. You say, how do you do it when you're driving? Just let your feet start going on the board, you know, down there. Just get excited for the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm so excited about this favor. I said, Lord, I have one question. I said, it's wonderful what favor will do, but how do I precipitate favor? You understand what I mean by that? How do you bring favor to pass? Is it something that we just pray for or ask for? He said, well, let me take you on a little journey. And so I studied some things. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit. Thus far, and I'm kind of an outline person, I think, Thus far, we've been looking at the benefits of favor, defining it. Now I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want us to begin to look at the ingredients of favor. Let's begin to talk about what really causes favor to come into being. What precipitates favor in your life? How can you willfully draw on it? Now that's what I'm getting at. How can you bring it about as needed? All right, go with me to Proverbs 3. And let's look at what the Scriptures has to say about how we can actually walk in favor. This is such an interesting study. It leads to an avenue that you really would have never thought of. It really does. It leads to an avenue that you would have never really thought of. All right, Proverbs 3. And let's look at verses 1 through 4. It says, "My son," or I could very well say, "my daughter, forget not my law or my word, but let thine heart keep my commandments," verse 2, "for length of days and long life." Now here's the benefits right here. "And peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." Now let me just stop right there. I'm going to put up here, and in your notes, we're just going to put different ingredients out here that bring us into favor. Let's start by just putting God's Word. God's Word will bring you into favor. That's what it says. It says, "Don't forget my word, let my commandments be with thee." So we could even say obedience to the word. I realize you can't read that all the way back there, so I'm just trying to walk you through it verbally. God's word, obedience, that's one of the ingredients. You know, if you leave out an ingredient, ladies, what happens? It doesn't look like the picture on the box. You see? You got to add all the ingredients. All right, look at verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck." So I'm going to put over here, mercy, truth. What's the first thing of the armor? What do you got to put on? The belt of truth. Integrity. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Verse 4. Now you mark it. "So." In other words, if you do what he just said, all those little things. "So shalt thou find." Here it is. Everybody say it. Favor. You do that, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding. Now, you know what my marginal reference says for good understanding? It says good success. Little two there, right there. It says, or good success. It's the exact same wording that's found in Joshua 1:8. "Thou shalt find favor and good understanding," or "you shall deal wisely," because that goes hand in hand with God's kind of success. "Good understanding in the sight of God and man." So I'm going to put favor leads to promotion, and I'm going to bring over here, this all will lead to good success. Now you say, what is good success? Really, good success is God's call and purpose for your life. If God has called you to live in a little hut as a missionary, and you do that and you fulfill that course which God has called you to do, that is good success for you. Can you see that? If God's called you to fly around in a Learjet or ride around in some fancy car, and that's God's call on your life and you're faithful to do that, then that is good success for you. The problem is when each one of those guys points at each other and says, "You're not living like I am." Hello? And there's judgment and criticism enters into the body of Christ. Comparison. See, things which shouldn't be there. I tell you, over half of the body of Christ problem could be cut out with just that one thing right there. Just blessing each other. You know, judging each other. But God's good success basically is your mission or your call in life. The course. Your heavenly vision. Paul said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto my heavenly vision." Heavenly vision. But favor is required to get there. All right, let's look at another passage. Go with me to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. We're still talking about ingredients. How do you get this thing operative in your life? How do you get the favor? Well, we just saw some ways. It says, "So shall you find favor and good success." God's word, obedience, mercy, and truth. All right, Proverbs 8. Let's begin with verse 32. It says, "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O you children." Now, please understand, this is wisdom speaking. Proverbs 8, and I'm reading to verse 32. If you go back to verse 1, it says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" This whole scripture is wisdom talking to us, personified. Verse 32. "Now therefore, hearken unto me, wisdom, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Everybody say, be wise.
Be wise.
Ooh, that's something right there. Be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Look at this. Watching sometimes at my gates. Is that what your version says? Okay, misread that. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now, mark verse 35. For whoso findeth me, what? Wisdom. Findeth life and shall, here it is, obtain favor of the Lord. So I'm going to add on our little ingredients list here. Wisdom. You say, man, this looks like a hodgepodge. I don't see how this is all going to come together. Just hold on. It's going to come together. Look at what he says there. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, what? Wisdom. Wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Pretty good way to put it. Well, if you hate me, you just love death. You know, that's what he says there. Now, one other passage, and then we want to settle in on two New Testament sections. Let's go to Proverbs 14, and this will be the last one of our little journey here through the Scriptures on favor, highlighting this subject of favor. Proverbs 14. Well, as I progressed in my own study, I got to looking at this board. Actually, it was on a piece of paper at the time. And I said, well, praise God, favor leads to promotion, will lead to good success, and all these ingredients are going to precipitate favor. And I began to see God's Word obeyed is wisdom. Wisdom is not only God's Word in your head. Wisdom only becomes wisdom when it's God's Word obeyed and applied. Do you see that? That's why, you know, you can go to Bible school or you can listen to cassette tapes. You can come to a seminar like this, which all are very needful. You're supposed to feed yourself with God's Word. But it does not really become wisdom until you actually walk it out in a real life situation and prove it and test it. So that's wisdom. God's Word will lead you to obedience and wisdom. God's Word will actually lead you to mercy and truth. God's Word will actually lead you to mercy and truth. God's Word says, this is true. But the Bible says, speak it in what? Love. Have a little mercy about it, you know. Well, because somebody said, I know it's true that you've got an ugly attitude. Well, that didn't particularly bless them, you know, the way you just said that. Maybe they need encouragement. So God says, mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. But this particular one that we're about to read, I find is the difficult one. The one that we're about to read that precipitates favor is the one that I find all believers really need a good dose of. I need a good dose of it in the teaching. Look at the very last verse. Proverbs 14, verse 35. The king's favor is toward a wise what? Now, what is the great mystery box? I'm going to draw a little box down here. You draw one there, put a little question mark in there. Everybody say the mystery box. What goes in the mystery box? Like one of those shows. Do you pick door number one, door number two, or door number three? The mystery box, write this in your notes. The mystery box is service unto the Lord. Service unto the Lord. Service unto the Lord. Service unto the Lord. You say that didn't give any goosebumps? Oh, if you walk in this, you'll get some. Service unto the Lord. Everybody say service.
Service.
Unto the Lord. Now, we're going to go and spend the rest of this evening in two wonderful passages that everybody hardly ever reads in the New Testament. Go with me to Ephesians 6. I want you to find two places at once and hold them because we're going to flip back and forth between these two passages. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I've hardly ever heard these passages ministered on. Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. So find those two places and then hold them. Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. Now, while you're doing that, I'm going to readjust my chalkboard here. I need a little bit more room. Service unto the Lord. If you will learn to work as unto Jesus, it will automatically guarantee you favor. Now, that's easier said than done, isn't it? I know what you're thinking right now. Honey, you don't know the bear that I work for on my job. I know what you're thinking right now. Oh, man, if you could see that guy, that's, you know, man, he does this, he does that, you know, he smokes, he chews, everything else. You know, oh, there's no way to work on my job as under Jesus. Oh, if I was like you, traveled around and preached the Word of God, just fasted and prayed all day. I see. Now, put in your notes right there, as you said, service unto the Lord. Service. I'll just write service unto the Lord. Then I'm going to draw a line here. And on the top of that line is success. In other words, if you go this way, it's success. It's an upward climb to success. If you go down this way, we're going to call it failure. God's kind of success. And I guess there's only a couple kinds of failure there. Failure. I don't want to be a failure in the Lord's eyes. Do you?
No.
Now let's turn that around. If you're not serving as unto the Lord, you're lazy, you've got bad attitudes. I know this probably never happens in Jacksonville, but try to relate to me. You got bad attitudes. Then instead of, what's the opposite of favor? Disfavor? Lack of favor? Unfavor? I don't know if that's a word. No favor? Instead of having no favor, instead of promotion, what's the opposite? Demotion. And instead of good success, you're getting further and further away from that thing which God would have for you. Failure. All right, let's look at this wonderful passage that's guaranteed to cause you to come up off of your seats. Ephesians 6, and let's begin with verse 5, and we'll read through verse 8. It says, servants. Everybody say servants. Boy, he said that with zeal. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto who? That's the first time he says that. Verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of who?
Christ.
That's number 2. Doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the who?
Lord.
3 times. I think he's trying to get a point across. And not to men. Now you mark verse 8 because verse 8 is the promise of favor. Now the word favor is not used here, but it's the really defining favor. It says, if you'll do what he just said, there's a promise. You see, God never requires anything unless he attaches a promise to it. That's the truth. I like that. God always gives incentive. Praise the Lord. Verse 8, knowing. Everybody say knowing. You've got to know this. In other words, you've got to know that God promises to do something if you'll do what he just said. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same. What say? Good things. The same shall he receive of the Lord, not your boss, not the guy that signs your check, of the Lord, whether he be what? Bond or free. Now, some of you have been sitting there saying, well, honey, that passage was written for the slaves. I mean, that don't apply today. Look what that verse just says. Whether he be bond or free. Now, let me just reread that in my Peebles paraphrase. Let's go back in verse 5. Employees. Did that get you excited? Employees, be obedient to them that are your employers, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, respect, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing. Everybody say knowing.
No.
I'm telling you what, if you'll get a hold, seriously, if you'll get a hold of what I'm teaching tonight and tomorrow night, it'll literally change your life. Because I've walked it out. I've walked it out. I know it'll work. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, this is a difficult thing, really, to begin to walk in your life. Because, as I said, in your mind, you're saying, Jason, that may work for some situations, but you don't know my situation. There's three things that I see here. Write these down in order to find favor. Number one, you must work as unto Christ. Number one, you must work as unto Christ. Number two, you must work not unto men. Now you say, well, that sounds similar. It's not really. First, you must work as unto Christ. Number two, you must work not as unto men. And number three, it says working from the heart. Ah, the attitudes. It's kind of like that little story, you know. I heard about the little boy that was cutting up in church. Man, shooting spitballs, tearing a bulletin up, waving at the speaker, you know. We're shaking the lights. I mean, he was getting with it. And his mother had corrected him and pulled him down three or four times. And finally, she jerked his little pants and just slapped him down right there. And said, you better not stand up again. He said, Mommy, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's the way a lot of people are. They get hold of this and say, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do a good job. But I'm not going to enjoy it. I want to give you a couple of illustrations from my own life where I proved this. There was a time in my life where I worked in an oil refinery. An oil refinery is, maybe you've passed them on the road, it's a big field that has just gigantic storage tanks and pipes running every which way. And I'm talking about the guys there look like gorillas. You know what I mean? I mean, they had hair on their elbows. These guys were tough. Hard hat type work. And you know, there I was, ready to go. And I was working on this job. And they would take you out during the day on the big truck through the oil field, and they'd drop you off at different points, and you'd have all kinds of jobs. I'd come home, I would be so dirty. I'm telling you the truth. I'd be so dirty. I'd be dark from the top of the head to the bottom of my feet with just soot and everything. My wife made me take off my pants before I went into the apartment. It was embarrassing. I'm telling you the truth. I'd look around real quick, hope nobody would look, and I'd slip them off and jump in, and she'd just do like this, you know. It was just a filthy, stinking job. I want you to really get that picture. Filthy, stinking job. And so one day, they took us out to one of the gigantic storage tanks, oil storage tank. And they had removed a plate about, oh, that big around, a big plate, and it had bolts all the way around it. They had removed all the bolts, and they were laying on the ground. And they dropped us off there, and the foreman was there, and it still hadn't dawned on me what was happening. And I said, what are we going to do today? He says, do you see that hole? I said, I see that hole. He says, you're going to crawl in that hole. I said, I'm going to crawl in that hole? He says, yeah, then we're going to put a big long ladder in behind you, and we're going to hang a little light bulb right in the middle. And you see this scraper? I said, I see that scraper. He says, there's goo all on the inside of this storage tank because we've drained it. And for the next 3 weeks, you're going to scrape goo. And so I went in there, and it was the middle of the summer. It was hot outside. You can imagine what it was like on the inside of an oil storage tank. Now, I'm a believer. And I'm in there, and I'm on the ladder. And the first thing I thought of was, Lord, our God, I'm better than this. Have you ever thought of that? I just read the book of the King's Kid. You know, Lord, our God, I'm a King's Kid. What am I doing scraping goo in this place? I know you probably never think things like that. But I was thinking that. And there was a fellow working with me in there, and he had his ladder over there. A little bitty light bulb. It was just a depressing type situation. And I was scraping my head, and we were complaining. And he said, can't you believe this? I said, I can't believe it. And he would curse a little bit, and I didn't go that far. But in the I said, man, I can't believe this. I said, this is terrible. He said, I'm probably going to quit tomorrow. I said, yeah, I'm thinking about it myself. And just like an intercom system, the Holy Spirit just, you know, calling Jason Peebles, calling Jason Peebles. I hadn't even been thinking about God. God said, Jason, do you think your attitude is glorifying me in this situation? I said, I hadn't really thought about it, Lord. He said, do you think that if you persist in this type of attitude, that you're going to be a shining example to this fellow on this other ladder? I said, no, sir. He said, do you think you could all begin to work as unto me in this situation? I said, but Lord, this is really gooey. He said, can't you see me as your boss? Can't you see beyond this and realize you're working for me, Jason? You're not working for some oil refinery. You belong to me. See me as your boss. And you know how you are when you try to work your way out of the flesh? That didn't make sense, does it? Work your way out of the flesh. But that's what I was doing. I was sitting there, and you know how you kind of start singing a little bit? Obo sana baranda, goo goo ba ba ya. Olomba na 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 ne me sangotere. You know, and it just wasn't, you know, just wasn't flowing. You know how that is. You people that are married, you know what I mean, you know.
You come home and your spouse is there and you've had one of those days. I mean, they're just floating around the house. Oh, light of a sudden. Man, you just feel like hitting a couch, man. And they got just living water coming out of them, you know. And you just feel like putting your umbrella up, you know, because you don't want any of it. For a while, anyway. But I was beginning to sing. And before long, I just... Well, not making anything big thing. I just, boy, glory to God, that's not too bad. Woohoo! Look at that long piece of goo I just got there. Hallelujah! And all of a sudden, the guy, he noticed this change of atmosphere taking place in the tank. In the tank. And he said, what are you happy about? I said, well, it's so bad. He said, man, is the heat getting to you? What's wrong with you? I said, it's really not too bad. I said, you know what? We can probably get this done in a week's time. We don't have to be in here 3 weeks. I said, we just work hard and do a good job. You know what happened at the end of that day? I led that young boy to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Don't patty cake. Give the Lord a hand for that. Beyond that, it's just probably coincidence. You know how things like that happen. But it just so happened that I got promoted on that job. Now, I'm telling you, it works. That when you begin to work as unto the Lord and do service, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord. He said, oh, no, they don't give promotions on my job. Of the Lord? No, they don't. They've never given raises in the history of the company. Of the Lord? Will he be bond or free? In other words, God is going to move to give you promotion and good success. If that company can't have ears to hear, he'll open a door somewhere else. He's going to make sure that you get promoted because you've been working as unto him. Working as unto him. I remember when I first discovered this principle. It was through a Bill Gothard study. I went to a Bill Gothard study. He was talking about this thing. See, I just kind of had stumbled into it in that situation. But I began to learn about it. And I began to mold my life around this thing. And one of my other jobs during the summer, you know, during between school sessions, and I have different jobs, earning money and so forth, I cut grass. I never have liked cutting grass. I picked weeds. I never really have liked picking weeds. And all the other guys, the thing was, you know, when the boss's truck came, wave at the boss. You never do that, do you? When the boss comes around, not with eye service. Look at your Bible. Not with eye service as men pleasers. And all the other guys would say, oh, the boss is gone now. We can relax. But in all good conscience, I couldn't. And I didn't. Oh, come on, Jason, quit. You don't have to cut anymore. But I couldn't because I knew that I was not working for the man in that truck. Who was I working for?
The Lord.
Everybody say the Lord.
The Lord.
Say it like you mean it. I was working for the Lord. Now the second thing there, it says, working not as unto men. In fact, before we go any further, hold your finger there. Let's go over and look at that Colossians passage. It's very similar, but it adds a little bit. Colossians 3, and let's look at verse 22 through 25. Everybody look in your book. Colossians 3, and let's begin with verse 22. Servants, or we could very well say employees. It says, obey in all things your masters, your employers, according to the flesh. Not with eye service. Not just when the boss is around. Because the boss is always around, if you really know who the boss is. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, verse 23 summarizes this entire principle. You may want to circle that. You may want to take verse 23 and write it on a little 3x5 card and memorize it. If you memorize verse 23, you would have memorized the entire core material that this seminar is built around. And whatsoever you do, everybody say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
That means cleaning the toilet bowl. We've got a little 15-month-old boy. He's the best. He's wonderful. The physicians had said we probably couldn't have one. We'd believe for 8 years. We have him now, Jason Ryan. Now don't get nervous. I didn't bring any posters. I'm not selling posters of him or anything. But he's the best. I love him. And you know how children are? When the big poopy comes, whatsoever you do. Everybody say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Come on, let's bring it on down to where it hits home, folks. What's why? Because God just wants to make it hard on you? Read on. Knowing, here it is again, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And he's not just talking about the sweet by and by. Right now, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the inheritance of the Lord, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now it also works in reverse. Be warned. Look at verse 25. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I don't think that's teaching that God's going to fix your situation because you didn't work as unto him. I think it's just the law of sowing and reaping applied to this area. He's saying if you don't work as unto me, not as unto men, and from your heart, you're fixing your own situation. You know, it's interesting how all through the body of Christ, you run into individuals that they know the Bible, they love God, but they're not stable individuals. It seems they're always job-hopping here and there. And you know what? They're coming up against this very principle and instruction on that job, and they're running from it, and they never become stable. And then they wonder why they don't have favor, they wonder why they don't have promotion, and they wonder why they don't have good success. It gets tough on the job. And the guy says, you know, your attitude isn't right. You need to correct your attitude or it's just not going to work out. And they say, well, just, you know, forget it, buddy. They walk out the door. And they go to another job. They run into the same. Then they say, well, you know, the whole world's like that. And they join the army. And then that guy's down there, kids, huh, looking into his face, you know, and he can't run after that. That's not the best way to learn, is it? The best way to learn is from the Word and by the Holy Spirit. The Word and the Holy Spirit. There was a time in my life in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that I also worked in a hospital situation. And I worked in surgery, and I specialized as an assistant in orthopedic surgery. I just love, you know, doing the surgery on the bones and things like that. I can't explain it to me. I mean, there's just something about, you know, I mean, that might sound strange. There's something about somebody coming in with broken bones when you fix them, and they leave, they're fixed. There's other kind of surgeries that you come in, and you just hope that it's made a difference. But when they come in, they got a broken bone or a leg or something like that, and they go, you really helped them. And I loved it. But there was this one guy that hated my guts. Excuse me, ladies. He hated my guts. You see, how do you know he hated your guts? Every day he said, Jason, I hate your guts. Well, I'm not just making this up to be a cute story. This happened. His name was Danny, and he was an orderly. And of course, I would have cases, and sometimes you'd get, you know, blood on you and so forth. You have to go back to the room and change, back to the locker room and change several times a day. And I'd pass him in the hall, and I'd say, hey, Danny, how you doing? Because I'm a believer. I'm going to bless him. Hey, Danny, how you doing? I hate your guts. Hallelujah. Thank you. Built me up. Praise God, you know. And we'd be sitting in the men's locker room there, and we each had a little locker, a little metal locker where you'd keep your, you'd come in the morning, you'd change clothes into your, so forth. And I'd open up mine, had smile, God loves you, in case of rapture, I won't be here. You know, all those stickers. Everything. God loves you, I've decided to follow Jesus. I had them all. He opened up his and he had, you know, bad pictures and ugly things like that, you know, and he had his. Now, mind you, I hadn't said a word. I never preached to him. I'd just sit down and he'd be over there looking at his magazine. I'd just sit over there with my magazine. Oh, glory to God. Oh, cut his head off, David. Go ahead. Do it. Go ahead. Hallelujah. And said a word. And all of a sudden, Danny would say, Jason, don't preach to me. I'll say, I won't preach to you. I just feel convicted just because I was there. See, the problem Danny had, Danny was homosexual. And all the other people in the surgical ward, they would make fun of Danny. They'd talk about Danny in the halls. I never did. I'm not saying I accept that lifestyle because I don't. It's sin unto God. But I was looking through that at Danny's spirit. I knew he was an eternal being, and he was either going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And I sought to always try to say something good to him. But he said, I hate your guts. Don't preach to me. I don't want to hear it. But I purposely was not working for men. Come on now. I was working as unto the Lord. Now, you see, the tendency is we get our eyes on people. And when you get your eyes on people, you can't work as unto the Lord.
And if I had to get mine eyes on Danny, I hate your guts.
Well, you're going to get yours when you die. Fire and brimstone, brother. You know, like that. I could not have trusted the Lord for what? Favor. I would have not had what? Promotion. It would have not led me to what? Good success. I was not working unto men. I was working unto the Lord. Well, Christmas time came around, truthfully. And you know how you draw names?
Yeah.
Guess whose name I just happened to get? I tell you the truth, it happened. I didn't rig it. The Holy Spirit did. I just reached in there and there was a bunch of names and I pulled it out and I went, oh, glory to God. And you know, it was a joke. It really was. Most people, they gave each other funny things. You know how those kind of parties are. I mean, they were giving each other deodorant, you know, mouthwash, toilet paper. I mean, it was kind of a joke. But I said, I'm going to do something really good. And I went out, man, it was like a budget of $5. Don't spend more than $5. I went out and I bought him like a, I don't know, $35 or $40 study edition gold leaf Bible. And I said, glory to God. I said, man, I've gone way over budget. Hallelujah. I said, boy, look at this. Lord, aren't you glad? Aren't you happy? I got him your Bible. It was strangely quiet. And I said, look at this. Gold trim right there on the edge. Bible. I got his name right there. Gold embossed. Lord, look at it. And he said, do you think Danny will appreciate that? I said, hey, Lord, he ought to. It's your Bible. He says, why don't you also go buy him something he could appreciate? I know you probably never think like this, but I thought, what, I thought he'd gone over the budget?
Yeah.
You never think like that. I said, well, I could return him and get some money. He said, no. He said, you keep the Bible and go get him something else. Glory to God, I went, and I got him a real nice gold men's bracelet. Wasn't really gold, obviously, but it was a nice gold men's bracelet. I wrapped it up pretty nice, and so we had the Christmas party. I mean, the doctors were there, the surgeons were there, the nurses were there, the orderlies were there. They were going, ha, 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 toilet paper, ha, 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 mouthwash, ha, 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 this. And Danny opened his, and there was a gold bracelet. And everybody, literally, all over the room, goes, oh, hush. Like, wow, Danny, look at that. Who gave you that? Somebody said, there's more. Danny dug down and he pulled out and he went, Jason. I says, true. He got the best gift there. Well, it just so happened, you know, how coincidence is that. It just so happened. Shortly thereafter, I was put in charge of the orthopedic suite in that surgical area.
Uh-huh.
And I was given a promotion. I'm telling you, folks, it works. It works. It works. It works. When we serve as a new Lord, get your eyes off of your boss right now. Just get your eyes off. Get your eyes off of how they've mistreated everybody in that office. Get your eyes off of that person that talks about you in the office. They say, I hate your guts. Don't let it bother you. Just let it roll off of you like water off a duck's back. And get your eyes on the Lord. And work as unto the Lord. No way that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same. Same what? Good things. Shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The mystery box is service as unto the Lord. Now it also says working from the heart. Go with me back to Colossians if you would. And let's read that again. You need to really mark these two passages, the one in Ephesians and the one in Colossians. I mean, put it in yellow, pink, brown, all of those colors. Put it in there. Colossians 3, and let's look at it again, verse 22. Servants or employees, obey in all things. No, let me just pause right there. That I don't believe that you are to ever obey an ungodly order. That's very rare that would happen. Obviously, if somebody comes up to you and they say, you know, you're supposed to do this or that, and it's ungodly, it's immoral, God doesn't expect you to do that. He's simply saying, in the line of normal duty, obey in all things. For instance, if they come up and they say, now I want this shelf arranged this way, you still have the right of appeal. Put that in your notes. You still have the right of appeal. In other words, you can say, well, let me give you a suggestion. I've studied this and I think it could be better this way. But if they insist and they say, no, I want that shelf organized this way, then in all things obey them. Go ahead and do it as unto the Lord, and don't do it with a grudge in your heart and say, well, they never listen to me. They never take my advice. They never do anything like that. You're not going to have favor.
So I wanted to clarify that. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, not just when they're around, but in singleness of heart, fearing, respecting God. And whatsoever you do. Now, this may sound like the day of Pentecost, because we all have different versions. But I want us to read out loud verse 23. All right? I'll say go and we'll go. One, two, three, go. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. One more time. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now you see, if you begin to shape and mold your life around it, and without me having to point fingers at you, I believe the Holy Spirit has already been dealing with you. I believe that some of you've been having goals out here, and you've wondered why it doesn't seem to be coming to pass. Some of you have had prayers. Some of you have had desires. Things that seem to have eluded you. I'm telling you the key tonight that'll take you right there. Look at the next two verses again, by way of review. Verse 24. Knowing, hold your finger there, go back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Isn't it interesting? Ephesians 6 verse 8 says, knowing. You've got to know this, brother. Somebody says, well, I just believe you can get ahead in life if you just work hard. No, you've got to work hard and you've got to stand on God's promise. Hello. You can go all through these things, and if you don't cling to the promise attached to this passage, it'll not avail you anything. That tells me faith is involved in this entire subject matter that I'm talking about. The exercise of faith in God's ability to open a door of promotion unto you, either on that job or somewhere else. Are you beginning to see this? He will do it. He will do it. A story just the other day in my office in Atlanta, a good friend of mine, a businessman, Greg Heitz, came into my office. He's a supporter of our ministry. He's a brother that does very well in the business realm. He sells industrial gears and things I don't know about, big, gigantic pumps and machinery. And he had put together this package, this project, for a number of months, really put it together, made the presentation. And he said that it looked like they were going to go with another company. Oh, he was just so downcast. Oh, he was just so downcast. He came into my office, and we're just that good of friends. He just flopped down, and we're not trying to impress anybody. He said, man, I feel terrible. He said, I put this thing together. It was a $100,000 deal. He said, the Lord knows I was going to give. I always give 10% right off the top of what I make. He said, I just can't understand why they're going with the competition. He said, you know this guy? He just blah, blah, blah. I said, Greg, I said, let's begin to turn our attitude as unto the Lord and not unto men. I said, let me just pray for you. Just let it roll off of you right now. Just get out of that anxiety state and begin to see your boss as the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your eyes back. Don't we all need that sometimes, a little prodding? I do. And I'm in the ministry. And you say, well, I'm an employer. The Bible has something to say about that too. We're going to get there in a minute. But I prayed for him, and I had a prophecy, a tongue and interpretation, same effect as prophecy. I began to speak in tongues and interpret over him. And the Lord said, get your eyes off of this situation and know that I'm working things that you can't even see. Because you are going to end up in full-time service in my kingdom. And this situation that you're going through will turn as a testimony under other businessmen. Now, while I've been away from Atlanta, coming down here, we just came from another seminar before we came here. I called home and Martha said, he got it. They bought it from him. And he was so excited. But you see, if you'll get your attitude right, you can know that God's going to do this. All right, look at it again. Colossians 3, verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Ephesians 6 and let's read it over there. Verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now look at verse 9. And you masters. You say, well, I'm an employer. Okay, listen up. You employers do the same thing. In other words, you're not the boss. You're just an under-shepherd. You're just a little servant under Jesus. So no matter what position you have, all these principles we're talking about apply so that you can have the favor of the Lord. Service as unto the Lord. It says, and you masters, do the same things unto them. Fearing, threatening, forbearing, threatening. Don't use fleshly methods. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. In other words, he's treating you on the same principles and basis as somebody that you call an employee. All right, back to Colossians, verse 25. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. In other words, don't kid yourself. You're not excluded from this spiritual law. Really, what we're talking about tonight is a principle, a spiritual law to God's kind of success in your life and my life. Now we can have God's favor. Amen? Close your Bible. Just close your Bible. Now I want you to say this out loud. Heavenly Father, say it like you mean it. Heavenly Father, I want your favor.
I want your promotion.
I want your success in my life. Help me, O Lord, to really work as unto you. To not work as unto men. Help me, Lord, get my eyes off of people. And I'll trust in your promise. You're my boss.
You'll be my
promoter.
You'll fulfill your word.
As I work as unto you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up, and I'm going to ask if the worship team would come back. We can roll, maybe a couple of guys can move this off. You know, I've got a philosophy, I guess you would say. When you go to somebody's house to eat, it's not polite to eat and run.